Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
Hi, besties.
Hi, besties.
Welcome back.
We are so excited to be in a new year.
Yes, and we talked in our last episode a lot about our New Year's resolutions and goals for 2026, and something that came up a lot was budgeting and finances.
Yeah, it's something that's relevant for not just the two of us and, you know, those that are around us, but all young professionals.
Yeah, I need some help.
Yeah, real. Young professionals need some financial help, and who better to explain some of the what we need to know about finances than Toledo's own Madison Decatur, our guest today. Hi, Madison.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I know, we're so excited to talk to you, and we were warning Madison before the episode that she might have to dumb down some of the financial lingo, because not all young professionals are up to date. I know I'm one who needs a little bit of extra help on understanding the financial side of things. So shout out. You're going to be our guru.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to try.
So, well, yeah, kick us off. Get us a little bit into your background. Did you grow up in the area?
I did. So I was born and raised here. I'm 32 now. So I literally went through all elementary school, high school, college, everything. Never wanted to leave Toledo. And I was kind of lucky. Like, I grew up in Point Place when I was really little, moved to Sylvania. I got to experience, you know, private school, Catholic school, public school. I went to summer camp here.
You really got the Toledo experience.
Yeah. I did. I moved around every borough, every neighborhood. I got to see it all.
I love it.
This side of the river, that side of the river. You know, I was everywhere. Big fan of every part of Toledo.
100%.
And then, you know, I don't know. It was something about in high school. I went to Northview. Shout out, Sylvania.
Shout out.
Riley knows. And we have these really great career tech programs. I know a lot of, you know, the schools here have those. And there was a specific, like, business tech program. And I took classes on, like, marketing, finance, accounting. And something about accounting just, like, really made sense to me. People are going to hear this and think, what are you talking about? But I loved a good T account. It made so much sense to me.
I fought the urge to be like, said no one ever. Like, I love that you are not even an adult. You can't even legally vote. And you're like, yeah, man, accounting. That's great.
Literally.
But we need people who understand that and have that type of brain. So you got into accounting in high school.
Yeah.
And you did that through your career tech. So did they offer any type of, like, special program or training for you to kind of prepare yourself before you went to college?
They definitely offered classes to give you that, like, intro. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the same gen eds you would take if you were in, like, a general business degree.
Sure.
Or even, like, a specialized degree in business. You kind of got all those gen eds in high school to say, okay, yes, this is definitely going to be for me. I think that's where I want to go. Or, nope. Turns out medical was for me, totally pivoting, doing something else.
Cool. Okay.
It was really more just like, is this something you're interested in? And your senior year, you have to do an internship to, like, complete the course, graduate, everything else. So I ended up getting a job at a public accounting office for tax season my senior year. I would go to school for like 3 hours in the morning and then go work my public accounting job all afternoon on Saturdays, like the whole deal.
Oh my gosh. And that's great, though.
I got really lucky.
Yeah, love that. Yeah.
And it was super close by to, like, my high school where I lived, and then still super close to UT. So I was able to keep that job all through college. So
that's amazing.
High school didn't really train me for the job, but the job kind of trained me for the job.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Super hands-on.
And you said you were close to UT, so you went to UT for school, mm-hmm. and you studied accounting.
I did.
So you worked through that job all throughout college. Did you have any other classes or internships that you feel like really resonated with you or helped you in your career?
There were a couple, I would say. It was nice being an intern at such a young age because I could see how everyone worked, like what their day looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw, okay, this is the tax department. They sit in their cubicles and they just type away all day.
Yes.
This is the auditing department. They're in their cute suits. They're going out to clients. They're going to have lunch. I wanted to wear the cute suits and go out and like be talking to people.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I love imagining that, right? Career on the cute suit.
Well, and genuinely, like, you obviously this is a podcast, so you guys can't see Madison, but if you know her, she is a fashionista. Like, she's always wearing the cute outfits, got the cute accessories, and just looks like a total pro. So it's not hard for me to imagine that, yes, you would be thinking about your outfits and your career.
That 18-year-old me was like, how can I look cute doing this? Yeah. Like, where are the pros and cons?
I love it.
So I, a lot of like on the job training, but I would say like the one class that really prepared me the most for my job was like standard auditing, mm-hmm. like at school, duh. But there was a communications class that, you know, you kind of had to cut up and come up with speeches, prepare things. They would have people come in and you would like network with business leaders.
Oh, wow.
And one of the plugs in that class was, hey, if you can't make it to this like mock interview or whatever we have for class, you can check out an Epic Toledo event. They're young professionals. You go network with them. You bring back 3 business cards. Tell me what you talk to them about. That's your thing for the day for class.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So I would say like, for that career and what I'm doing today, I think that class really had the biggest impact for me.
Yeah.
Because it introduced me to Epic and kind of taught me to how to go talk to people, how to public speak, how to prepare a presentation. And I think that's one of the things I've used the most universally.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
And I think that people really underestimate the importance of those soft skills when it comes to industries that might not necessarily, you know, boast them outwardly, right? So, like, obviously, I have a communications degree, so communication is not a soft skill for me. It's, like, the skill I need to survive in my career. But, like, when you think of accounting, you're not always thinking, okay, like, this person needs to network. This person needs to know how to talk to their clients and get new clients and all of these things. It's really important. So that's really cool.
It really makes or breaks, like, a lot of situations that you would not think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
So then moving out of college, what was your like next step, first job moving out of that?
Okay, so my first job out of college was my first job going into college.
Okay.
So that internship I got in high school, I kept all through college and then worked for them after I graduated.
Yeah.
Which was really nice to finally just be doing that job and just focused on that job.
Yeah.
And not trying to like work full time, go to school full time, study, pay my bills, pay my mortgage. Like,
yeah, you're like, I've been here long enough. I want to actually do it now.
Exactly. Well, and you're also trying to enjoy your college time, you know, because you're only in school once. So trying to balance that in addition with having a job that not a lot of your other peers, I'm sure, were dealing with was probably difficult.
Yeah, none of my peers were dealing with jobs like anywhere similar to mine. Like they were like, oh, I'm headed to the rec. I've got to work for like 2 hours tonight. And I was like, oh, that sounds so fun. Cool.
I cannot relate. I will be doing accounting on a Saturday afternoon when I could be sleeping in. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if I like had a regret from that time, it would have been maybe spending a little bit more time like enjoying being young and being in college.
Yeah.
But, you know, it brought me to where I am, so, like, truly no regrets at all.
100%.
But, yeah, so that was, like, my same job. I just kept that, and then, I mean, I worked more hours, I guess.
I love it. And you stayed there for how long after school?
Okay, so I stayed – so I was at Weber O'Brien in Sylvania. They were recently acquired by GBQ Partners, so that, you know, goodbye, loved you. I was there for 7 years. So I was there for like 2 or 3 years after I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also still back when you had to get 150 hours to sit for the CPA exam.
Yes.
I was still going to school to get those extra hours. So I guess I was never really done with school now that I think about it, working that job. But I was there and then I worked for a specific partner at that firm that really concentrated in construction accounting. And I, again, something about that just like really clicked with me. Something really resonated with that industry, with how their finances work, that balance sheet, how that all played together. So when he left that firm, I followed him because my entire client base was essentially going to be leaving me.
Yeah.
So I moved from like a much larger kind of local firm to a much smaller local firm. So where I got to focus exclusively on audits, financial statements, presentation work, I moved to the smaller firm and I got to learn everything.
Okay.
Wow. So I had never even done my own tax return at this point. You know, I worked for a public accounting firm. I'm like, oh, there's someone that can help me. This is great.
Right.
And moving there, I had to learn so many new things, but keep all the knowledge I had retained on everything else that was so specialized. So that was really cool, but also a lot to do at one time.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started traveling a lot. So I was doing a lot of consulting work, presentation work for, you know, 2020 before the world shut down, like weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving a presentation in South Carolina for Southern Living Magazine.
Oh, wow.
You know, so like my job changed a lot.
Yeah,
from,
absolutely.
You know, that first firm to that second.
Well, and I would imagine that it is difficult to reconcile. You know, on the one hand, you were in a lucky situation because your client base was going with that partner who you also wanted to work with and admired. But I would imagine there's a level of uncertainty or a feeling of lack of control when it comes to that kind of industry.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Especially at that young age.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of at the whim of like, okay, like whatever you put on my plate, I do. Whether right. I like this industry or I like this client or I like... You know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. like you're kind of at the mercy of like what they can assign for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was that was stressful. That was very stressful.
Definitely.
But it worked out really well.
Well, and definitely that job sounds like it taught you a lot of incredible skills that are transferable to what you're doing now. Because
yeah.
talk about after you left that job, what was next for you?
So, OK, so I was in that job through 2021. Truly COVID really took it out of me, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably don't remember, but I deeply remember that the IRS extended those tax deadlines for several, several months.
Mm.
And during all of that, they also had the PPP loans, the employee retention credit. Clients didn't know how to apply for those things, what documents they needed. So we're dealing with traditional tax season, all those extra things. It truly felt like 2 years of just nonstop tax season. I was always working. It was tough.
Like yeah, I can't imagine.
Like
yeah.
It really took a lot out of me mentally, physically, emotionally.
And I think that, honestly, before we even get to what you are currently doing, which is at Signature Bank, I think we can kind of take a break there to talk about break that down a little bit. You know, I think taxes are something that for young people, we don't really go through like a high school home economics class or things like that to learn how to do some of these things. So can you kind of break down what maybe the average young person is looking at when it comes to tax season?
Mm, okay. I mean, I would say the average young person probably gets a W-2 from their employer.
Right.
And that's about it.
So
like that should truly be. I mean, unless you have like a ton of investments on the side and you're day trading, good for you. I do not have that kind of time to keep up and hope that I time the market perfectly. I just throw a standard percentage into my 401k and I'll see that in 40 years.
So fair. So, but talk a little bit too, you know, like so W-2s, W-4s, like go through and talk a little bit about like kind of the difference between some of this paperwork and what that looks like in different positions.
I mean, sometimes I throw out tax forms like it's just common knowledge and
right?
girly, it's not.
No, real. I mean, I remember the first time I was working a part-time position and I got, what is the part-time one even, a W-9? And they handed me something and I looked at it and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I have no idea. And I was, you know, like 18 or... So go through a little bit about what that looks like for people.
You probably got an I-9,
which
is where you put in like your social security number. I think it's – I want to say that's where you mark like if you're a citizen or not, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So that's how they know that like you can legally be an employee essentially.
Okay.
Or I guess if you had like you know, like a green card or something else to be working in the United States, that's the form that says, like, you can work here.
I see.
A W-2 is what your employer sends you at the end of the year. They're due by January 31st every year. And that's what tells you, like, okay, this is what you got paid. This is how much we withheld in taxes for you for federal, state, local. Being here in Ohio, obviously, we have like every possible municipality and everything you could ever dream of to withhold for, which has been really fun for my husband to learn moving here from Florida, where it's just a federal return.
Right. Mm.
And then you would take that information from your W-2 form and input that in your 1040, which is your personal tax return that you file with like the IRS.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Mm-hmm. So then kind of moving out of that crazy COVID era and going through everything that you went through and those hardships, you left public accounting totally. So yeah. Talk a little bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy looking back too, because I never thought I would leave public accounting. I really loved what I was doing. But I started thinking about like, okay, family planning. Can I really travel this often? Can I really not see the sunlight and not see my family for 3 to 6 months out of the year? And that just did not seem feasible for me. So when I left, I actually got a call from my now boss and said, hey, you know, I know we had joint clients. We worked together a lot. Have you thought about what your next steps are going to be? I heard you left public accounting. And I thought, well, I think I just want a minute. Let me call you back, which... Don't do that. If you ever get that call, don't do that.
What would you suggest they do instead?
Say, you know what? Whatever that person is, whatever industry that person is calling from, you know what? I have thought about that. I would love to talk to you more about that. And then, go do that.
Yeah. I mean, even just learning more from the person for sure.
Exactly. Yes. So ultimately, like, I had thought about banking as like a next step for me. I had a really great mentor that is my mom, who is in banking. She's a commercial lender. So I watched her do that my whole childhood. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. Very transferable skills from what I'm doing in public accounting. It's finance. I'm taking everything I know about financial statements. I'm just looking at them in a different lens. So I kind of spent that summer talking with Signature Bank, figuring out how we would both be a good fit for each other, and started there. Probably the best week you could ever start a job, which was Solheim.
Wow.
In 2021. So my first week on the job, I got to spend outside at Inverness with all of my new colleagues and bosses, all of our, you know, clients. And I got to spend all that time like really connecting with all of these people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, that's incredible.
Best time ever to start a job.
Yeah. And I know you are a golf girly, but I have to ask, does that mean you also saw Gwen Stefani?
I am so sad to say.
The deepest sigh.
No.
The deepest sigh.
No. Let me say I was very lucky that my in-laws were in town visiting us from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were here, I did not get to go see Gwen Stefani.
Oh, devastating.
It really was.
Devastating on the personal side. Great connections on the networking side.
Exactly.
Talking about you at Signature Bank, I want to know a little bit more about what your day-to-day looks like in transitioning from public accounting to banking.
Very different days, yes. I would say like the biggest change from day-to-day is that I don't have to track what I'm doing every 15 minutes and bill that to someone.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So like public accounting is billable, like attorneys, whatever.
Yeah.
So everything you're working on, you've got to track that time because you've got to bill that to a code, whether that's, I was doing like administrative work or I was researching something or learning something for continuing education or truly working on something for a client. Where now my day, like if a client calls, I can just talk with them. Like if they have questions, if they want my advice on something, I'm not looking at the clock like, oh, am I going to have to write some of this off? Or, oh, how much is this conversation going to cost you? I can just help people, which is like truly such a blessing. And every day truly does look so different. Like I'm really lucky the bank I do work for, we're not segmented off to say, okay, you work with this type of client or this size of client. It's very diverse, the type of people we get to work with. So some days I'm sitting down with like a nonprofit and helping them figure out, okay, how can you expand? How can we bridge the gap before you get, you know, this next grant or this new manufacturing company that's, you know, building or expanding or acquiring something. Every day looks so much different, but I get to be a lot more Well, I get to be a lot more in control of my day and not in control of my day, where you come up with a great plan. You think you're going to get all this stuff done, and then you get a call and you're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
So fair.
Where like public accounting was truly like, okay, we have to schedule this audit for this week because next week we have to go to this other audit, and that's what works for this client. And then we have these deadlines for these other things, and we're getting
and
these work papers
every
here.
Did you say 15-minute increments? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
That is wild.
My first job was every 6 minutes, so every like 10th of an hour.
Oh man.
So sometimes, like, I still sometimes have a hard time being like, oh, 15 minutes. Like, is it 12 or 18 minutes? That how long are we going to be doing this for?
Right.
Just living your life in 6 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it's not terrible at all.
So you mentioned working with nonprofits and other type of businesses to help with their banking. What then is kind of the difference between for you working with that and then versus individuals, how you handle that and take that on?
Yeah. So in my role, I only work with businesses.
Okay.
And like business owners or executive directors, things of that nature. And then there's a whole another department at my bank who works on like consumer is what we call it, consumer lending. So, you know, if you wanted to buy a home or a car or a yacht, whatever you're in the mood for, that's we have a whole separate team who, you know, is trained, qualified, all of that fun stuff and licensed to offer consumer rates.
Yeah.
Where I exclusively work on the business side, so I can stay kind of in that realm, stay up to date with that.
Yeah, so you're helping like our local entrepreneurs and that. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. The entrepreneur world is hard. It's definitely hard because it's the highest risk. So it's really hard for a bank to get on board with funding, you know, a new venture.
Sure.
Because there's so much risk. So it's really helpful if, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you're looking to open a business that you really save, you really plan, you really work out that business plan, you have projections and goals, and you can tell a bank, like, this is what we think we're going to do in our first year, our first 6 months, our second year, our third year. This is how we project, you know, how we're going to grow, and have like real numbers behind that and a real story to go along with it. Because I think sometimes people think, okay, I have all these numbers in front of me. I just give that to the bank and then they do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But those numbers really tell a story. And if you don't tell the bank what that story is, sometimes they kind of either don't hear it or they've got to kind of fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite things is actually hearing that story from business owners or from those entrepreneurs of, why are you doing this? Like, why did you start this? How did you get into this? What made you think of all of this? What makes your business unique and different?
Yeah. You kind of want like a full thought out like pitch almost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it like Shark Tank, except that I'm not investing.
Well, and I would imagine then, too, that you're utilizing some of those communication skills to see who is approaching you with kind of the genuine thought out intent as well. Because you're not then just looking at their projections and the number side of stuff, but you're hearing their stories when they're telling you about their business idea.
Oh,
and you can almost kind of see who is giving you the runaround or who is really genuine about what they want to do.
That is true. Yeah. You can also tell like who's really taken the time to figure things out, do the research, or who's just kind of coming up with a story because they think that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I will tell you that is one of the five C's of credit. you know, we want someone who's honest, who openly communicates the good, the bad, the ugly. We're indifferent. We just want to know the truth.
Yeah,
you know, because we want to come up with a plan together. Like if you're having a hard time or, you know, you think there's going to be an issue, it's better to know in advance and help come up with a strategy and a plan together than, okay, we're both saddled with this, so, like, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, definitely.
Which kind of brings me to my next question of advice for young professionals in their finances. So what do you think is, like, the most important first step? Like, where are we starting out? What's number one to get things in order?
What's number one? Well, on that I-9 form where it asks you to put down a number, you put zero. You want them to withhold as much as possible. In my mind, I'm like, when the tax man comes knocking, I don't want to write you a check.
Yeah.
I don't want you. I don't want to owe you anything. I don't want any surprises. Just take it all away from me now. I want to plan my year and spend my money with what I have.
Yeah.
And then if I get something back later, great. But I really don't want to have this like separate account somewhere where I'm saving and I've got to like find that somewhere.
Yeah. Is there any reason why you would do that? Like,
Well, people will mark down like other numbers if they have kids or other things. And I'm like, nope, just assume I don't have them.
Right.
Which I do. I have two. Right. But but I withhold as if I have none.
Well, gotcha. And a lot of young people do freelance jobs that don't operate on a system where they take the taxes out and you have to track that yourself. So do you have kind of any advice for people who are working as consultants or contracted workers who don't have the option then to mark the zero, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, exactly. I would truly say, I mean, it's hard to know what everyone's tax bracket's going to be, but it would be better to safely assume just like a standard 30%.
Okay.
Just take 30% off the rip, whatever you're getting into your account. If someone's Venmoing you for your services or whatever it is, or you're getting checks, I would set up two separate accounts. And if you are running a business, it would be, it's so, so smart to have a separate like bank account, checking account for that business separate from your personal account. Like, do not mix those two things together.
Yeah.
It is so complicated later to like go through your bank statements and pull out like, okay, what did I spend from this? Where did I get this from? What was this for? Especially credit cards, everything else. If you're your own employer, separate the two. Keep everything separate. They're two separate lives. So that's the other thing too, is I would keep them separate
for
your taxes and, you know, your income. So you know what you can spend, and then you have something set to the side where, okay, great, I have that. When I do have to pay my taxes later, it's already set up and ready for me. And then honestly, it's fun too. You can watch that little savings grow over the year. And depending on how high that balance is, you can earn some interest. Like, who doesn't want to earn money off of their own money?
Right. And how can young professionals identify most closely what tax bracket they are in?
So if you go to the IRS website, irs.gov, there are tax tables that would tell you that. So like, it would be easy to tell, okay, I traditionally make $26,000 a year on whatever it is I'm doing. The table will tell you, like, that's what your tax rate is going to be.
Okay.
The interesting thing about tax rates, said no one, is that it's like a step up. So any income, so let's say there's the tax rate for $26,000 and under. And then let's say you only made $30,000. Well, that next step up in the tax bracket, that $4,000, that's what gets the higher tax rate. So it's not the full $30,000 that's at that higher tax rate. It's just that second set of $4,000. So it's like, it's tiered. So you don't, if you made $400,000 a year, you're not paying, I don't even know what the tax brackets are. That's maybe embarrassing, but you wouldn't pay that high rate on every dollar you make.
I don't think that's too embarrassing. I think a lot of people probably don't, even if they do work in the financial industry. Off the top of their head, that's pretty hard.
I've never had a client ask me that, so, you know, maybe that's why, I don't know. We'll blame it on that.
But also, I think, too, a lot of young professionals are balancing both living in the survival mode of looking at what they have now and what they can do to be comfortable now. But then they're also looking at, what am I even working toward? Like, what are my goals? What do I want to see? And what is your advice or your take on kind of what young professionals should be working toward financially?
Oh, Riley, that is such a good question. And I truly wish that I could go back and tell like 20 to 22 year old Madison, like, this is hard, but you're going to get through it and it's going to get better. I can't tell you how many meals were truly just like a can of corn or a pack of ramen. And like, that was my meal. And I was truly living paycheck to paycheck to get through things. But it was also worth it because I made a point at that time knowing, okay, it's hard right now, but I want to retire. And compound interest is a very real thing. So even though I wasn't making a ton of money, I was still putting 15% of my paycheck into my 401k and setting that up for a Roth, because in my mind, I'm never going to be at this low of a tax bracket ever. So I'm going to pay the taxes on this now, not when I'm 60 and theoretically in a much higher tax bracket. I just want to pull this money later. Oh, I need to go back and explain what these things are.
To be clear, if you're doing a Roth, that means you're paying the taxes now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yes. So just that difference is what I wanted to make sure they understand.
Yeah. So like, especially young professionals, and I'm a medium-aged professional at this point.
You are a young professional.
I'm still a young professional, and I still do a Roth.
Yeah.
So like, I want to pay all the taxes on my retirement now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee what the tax rates are going to be really next year, 5 years from now, 50 years from now. So I already know what it's going to be. I'm going to pay it now, out of sight, out of mind. When I go to pull this out of my retirement later after it's grown and invested and all these gains and things have acquired, I just want to take that money then and I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pay the taxes then at all. So, especially when your income is low, it's really hard to think, oh my gosh, what do you mean I'm going to like chuck some of this to the side too that I'm not going to see until I'm at a minimum 59 and a half.
Right.
Ew.
Right.
So I'm glad I did though, because especially then, like, okay, I'm responsible for myself. I don't have kids. I guess I did have a mortgage, but like I didn't have a ton of crazy bills. I didn't have all these obligations or people who needed things from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pretended it wasn't there. Again,
yeah.
Have your employer take that out of your paycheck, and what you get in your account is what you get in your account.
Yeah.
And live off of that. And as you get raises, pretend you don't.
Good call.
Don't change your standard of living. Keep grinding. Your 20s are tough. Your 30s start to get better. Your 40s is when you're like, oh, okay. And then you can just like coast.
I love it. And obviously, you know, you've been working in this industry now for, I mean, over a decade since you were in high school. Like, you've been in the financial industry for a long time. And I think Libby and I both want to know, why the longevity? Like, what keeps you interested in this industry?
Helping people?
Yeah.
Honestly? I mean, there's so many industries you can work in that truly help people. Like,
sure.
By no means am I out here saving lives. But also the beauty of that is that I'm not at risk of hurting anyone either. So, you know, every decision is not quite as like life or death.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy the numbers. I love a good Excel spreadsheet. I enjoy it. It's interesting. It's not for everybody, 100%. And if you can make something that's like boring for most people or confusing for most people, interesting and digestible, I think that's a real win. So I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better answer.
No, that's
that's
perfect.
A great answer. And talking through all of this, and you're doing such amazing things at your job now, but I also know you're super involved with the Toledo community as well. And outside of your career, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm still devastated to say and kind of in denial, but I'm the past chair of Epic Toledo. I loved my chairmanship last year. It was truly the best. I've been involved with Epic, since college, mm-hmm. you know, when my professor said, hey, go check that out. I did the first Summer in the City program through Epic as like an intern. So I got to like see Toledo from what the chamber kind of wanted us to see to like convince us to stay, you know, which, you know, twist my arm. It took a lot of convincing to keep me here. But, you know, so I've been involved with Epic for a long time. I used to help plan the Epic birthday bash. So I did a lot of committees. I was part of the Leadership Toledo cohort a couple of years ago. I really loved that. That gave us so many opportunities with like, 6 months to really work on a project for the community, learn about all these things going on that I hadn't known about previously, or just teach me more about something I did know about. I'm also the treasurer for the Sylvania Schools Foundation.
Rock on, Sylvania Schools.
So I volunteer my time for that. Yep. That's a lot of fun.
Seeing Tom Runnels at like 7 a.m, so fun for you.
Yeah, my drive from Perrysburg is really great for those 7:30 meetings. I really love those. But you know what? That's another part of the gig too, is that, you know, if you volunteer your time, you don't get to pick when those board meetings are.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
And I'm young, so I think about the three T's that you can give, you know, time, talent, and treasure.
Love that.
I'm a young mom. I have a husband. I have a full-time job. So my time is relatively limited. I'm insanely smart and have so much experience. So I have nothing but treasure to give, or talent to give. Treasure, not quite so much. You know, I've got bills to pay, things to save for. You got to love those daycare bills. So, well, and you know.
I wanted to ask you about that because you are so involved. How do you balance spending some of that intentional quality time with your two children and with your husband?
Yeah. So, I'm even more involved in like so many other things I haven't even mentioned, like CFMA and Toledo Rotary and all these other things that take up a lot of my other time.
Right.
So I've had to really figure out how to say no. Because it's hard. Like, truly, so many things speak to me and I want to be involved in so many things. There's never been a cause that I'm like, I don't think that really speaks to me, which can be problematic. So I've really had to like really sit down and think through like, what can I give back to them that, you know, I know they need a body, they need someone, they need help, whatever, but what can I personally give to them? Or do I actually know someone who'd be a better fit that maybe could be more beneficial for them? So learning how to say no and say yes to the right things was huge. Honestly, and just being intentional with my time of, okay, I can make commitments to things that are during the workday, that are, you know, over a lunch hour or early in the morning, but I can't commit to too many things that are early mornings because my sweet, sweet husband has to get those two kids ready for school and take them because I'm already out the door before they're awake.
Right.
So really making sure I commit to things that work within our schedule. And truly just like finding a partner that understands like your personal, professional, community goals and the things you want to do with your time. Picking a partner who's supportive of that and willing to take the time to do those things with you, support those things, or just be home with your children and accept that there's going to be some times that you're not home is huge for us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I kind of think about it sometimes like, okay, my community involvement is my gym time, you know? So, like, I'm not going to the gym for 2 hours a night, 5 days a week.
Right, right.
Where he's like, okay, like, you have children. Like, we want to see you, too. And I want to see them. I want to make that super clear. I really love them, and I want to see them as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I consider those kind of things, like, this is my gym time, or whatever it is, you know?
Well, and no misconception, because Taylor absolutely works so hard too.
And yes, he does.
You are a dual income and dual hardworking household. But because you are involved in so much and you are really intentional about sharing that load, I think you're in a different position than a lot of other young professionals might be.
What do you think would be the biggest piece of advice you could give young professionals as your super mom involved self?
Biggest pieces of advice. Saving your 401k. Whatever your employer matches, at least contribute that. So if it's 3.5%, 4%, 5%, at least contribute that. That would be like my number one biggest advice. But two, it's less like work related, more personal, is make sure you have those honest communication, like honest conversations with your partner of, these are the things I want to do. This is what my life currently looks like. These are the things that are important to me. You know, do these values align with you? Not just like, hey, I really love hanging out with you. We really vibe. Like, that's all great. Definitely date people. But when you're thinking about like long-term planning and what does my life look like, you know, are we aligned on all of our values, on how we see people? Truly, like, not to be political, like, politics is a huge thing too, because like those are some tough conversations sometimes. So making sure you're aligned with your partner on things like that is really important.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go home and have challenges there, you know? Yeah. Like your partner's
there. You need that
there.
Support system.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you want to feel comfortable at home. That's where things are supposed to be easy. So I would say like that, like just those really honest, tough conversations with someone planning your life out.
Definitely. And we wouldn't leave without a little bit of Roman Empire. So today, let's have Libby kick off our Roman Empires.
So in our last episode, we talked about our book goals, and I said I wanted to read 20 books this year. And I honestly, I'm not going to lie, guys, I thought there was a part of me that was just saying that and was never going to get around to it. But it is only, you know, a couple weeks into the new year at the time we're recording this, and I've already finished 3 books.
Heck yeah, girl.
So I'm on a roll, and now I feel inspired to continue. Maybe it'll be more than 20. Maybe it will just be 20. Maybe it'll be less than 20. But I'm having a really good time reading again, and so I feel accomplished. That's my Roman Empire.
I love that. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so impressed. It's hard to read when you feel pressure to read.
Yeah.
And so I think being able to just do it for yourself and on your own is great.
Thanks.
I would have to say that my Roman Empire today involves you, Libby.
Oh.
Libby and I, for those of you who are regular listeners, know that we live together and we live with our partners. And so the four of us decided that we were going to start ordering these like monthly snack boxes from around the world.
Yes.
And we tried our very first one, and it was from Korea, and we got a bunch of really cool snacks.
I was honestly, I'm sorry, this is your Roman
Empire. No, girl.
I was honestly expecting like, okay, like it'll be interesting to try new things, but everything was genuinely so tasty.
I think there was maybe only one thing that we gave a zero. The rest got like, like 6 or higher.
Yes.
But most of it was 9s or 10s. They were really good.
What was your favorite?
I would say either we also got a little cookie tin from around the world, and that was really fun because we got to try all sorts of different cookies. So one of the cookies from Italy that was in there was a coffee cookie. That was really, really good. Or I really loved the rice tteokbokki cake. But it wasn't actual tteokbokki. It was like crisps. So they were like snack chip form of tteokbokki, which was very tasty. And they were kind of like mild flavored. It was like a sweet and spicy. So it had a really nice mix of the two. But I'm really looking forward to it. The next one's France.
Yes.
So we'll have a little snack box update for you guys. But Korea was really cool to start with. And last but not least, let's go over to our guest. What is your Roman Empire, Madison?
Well, I love how like fun and like light your guys' Roman Empires are. Mine feels really serious. It's affordable housing.
No, real.
Like that's probably truly my like biggest like Roman Empire is like private equity, man. You know, I just people need to be able to afford to live.
Yes.
We need to stop buying up all the houses and leasing them to everybody. Like what happened to like a starter home?
Yeah.
You know, I think about when I was 20 and I could afford like a cute little starter home and it was no big deal. And now those just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So that's what I spend my time doing is reading and researching about that.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about it.
No, and it's such an important topic. And I mean, very fitting with our finance theme for today. So that is good.
But tteokbokki is really great too. I also really love Korean food.
So fair.
That's been my hyper fixation. Maybe not my Roman Empire.
Well, Madison, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate you being here and sharing all of your incredible financial knowledge with our young professionals.
Thank you guys so much for having
me. Thank you.
It was great.
We want to thank Madison Decatur, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.